I was wondering if first you could describe for us the environment and culture of the area Ugunja works in.
Ugunja Community Resource Center works in western part of Kenya, in a province known as Nyanza, and we operate in Siaya District. We are situated 75 kilometers northwest of Kisumu City and 40 kilometers away from Kenya-Uganda border. We work entirely in a rural, remote village where the predominant people staying around these areas are Luo community. The district has got a population of approximately 475,000 and 300,000 people. The district is faced with so many challenges. According to government statistics, Siaya District is one of the poorest districts in Kenya, with poverty rate escalating to 60%. The life expectancy has dropped drastically. Averagely, the life expectancy now is 42 years per adult. As a replicate of the communities in South or in Kenya, Siaya is faced with several challenges, among them food insecurity, HIV/AIDS pandemic, environmental degradation, a lack of income for investment for both men and women in the community, unemployment among young people, among many other challenges that the rural communities face.
Okay. When was Ugunja established, and what was the particular reasons for starting this kind of organization?
Ugunja Community Resource Center was started way back in 1992. It was started by the local people after realization that the food production was getting low and low in the community. People, especially members of the community, were giving up in farming. This was as a result of declining soil fertility, lack of services that are essential, such as extension, and inconsistent or change in weather patterns. So this kind of pushed people towards giving up in doing farming. And this is a district that is a remote rural district where 80% of the livelihood is supported by agriculture for subsistence. So we saw this as a threat, and we saw the community as being pushed quite so much. So we started to respond to the need of making people have alternative way of agriculture by doing sustainable agriculture and giving information, because we believe that information is power. If people are informed, then they can know what to do and when. So we started basically by organizing local information sharing forums, trainings, capacity building forums, and we would work with women, men, and different people in the community to bring them together to discuss issues around sustainable food production using low income or low external inputs for increasing land productivity.
Give us a sense of what a typical day is like at Ugunja Community Resource Center.
Ugunja Community Resource Center has grown from day to day to a situation now that it is seen by the community members as a hub of their information and sharing. The organization does several activities: information provision through the resource center and computer lab that we have, training people in computer. We have volunteers that go out into the community and engage community members in issues of agriculture. We have a project targeting women and come purposely to empower women in managerial tasks in the community. And we have a healthcare program. We have education program. So this makes Ugunja Community Resource Center to be a very resourceful place in the community and busy. In a day, averagely, Ugunja would handle about 100 cases of people through all these programs. So the organization has got so many activities and a beehive always whenever you come in.
Right, I'm sure it is. It sounds like there's a lot to offer there. As coordinator of sustainable agriculture, community health, and youth projects, what impact or changes do you see as a result of Gunja activities in particular?
Our work, like I would mention, under sustainable agriculture, we've trained several community animators, people living in the community that are willing to demonstrate practically how to produce food and engage members from the respective villages in implementing such kind of methodologies. For the families that we've interacted with, they've recorded yield increase in terms of food production, so that is a positive impact. When I talk about youth, Many a times young people go to school, and to the least level of education they have, that is primary education, people think of going to the city after education for white-collar jobs. People don't consider participating in community activities. So our engagement with young people have really changed this thinking among young people, and we have young people willing to be part of the community, to volunteer in work, to do agricultural activities, to do alternative form of work. And that is one impact that we've achieved. When it comes to healthcare, we've recorded reduction in number of communicable diseases, which prevalent when we were starting, such as we've recorded reduction in malaria, diarrheal disease, through the good work that the community health workers do. And in terms of building self-confidence among people that the problems we are facing can only be solved if they participate actively, if they take leading role in working for the change, then that is when we can realize a change. So that is a big impact. And right now we have so many organizations, especially women, who are coming up strongly to participate in community development work.
Okay. You mentioned now a little bit about the urban migration and the impact that has on the community. What other connections do you see between the urban centers of Kenya, for example, and what interactions there are with the rural communities?
In Kenya, we face a big challenge in terms of rural communities and urban centers. There's a big migration of the working force, the labor active group of people in the community, to go to the cities in search of employment, just because many people believe that the cities have the facilities and the infrastructure, and people still believe that cities, that is where life is easy and you can get means of livelihood. So we have a lot of rural urban migration, and there is a big problem because you find that men migrate to the cities, leaving women in the rural area. And then when they go to the cities, because there is no employment, there is no stable source of income, they stay in slum. And this is what is facilitating the emergence of slums in our towns. And in doing so, they engage in other activities like that compromise themselves, moral activities that accelerates other problems such as HIV, AIDS, and things like this, because whenever they are away from their families, from their wives, and they don't have enough resources to visit frequently and all this kind of thing. And then in the community, we have an impact of women taking much activities, and many people depending on them, the children and other kinsmen. So it is really a big problem, and our organization was started to help solve this problem by making people aware that we can make life be very good in the rural centers, and we can come up with an alternative means of livelihood generation, and it is possible, it is working. So we do this by having demonstrations, by talking, by publicizing what people have done, and documenting case studies that are working. So that is what we do.
One of the connections that I see between rural and urban here, I mean, I think that's similar as it is there in Kenya, that people see the city as the opportunity, where the jobs are and so on. But another aspect of this is a disconnect that urban dwellers have between their food security, for example. People living in the city are so cut off from the sources of their food that they don't realize how important rural issues are to them.
Yeah, that is true. Many urban centers are supported by the rural villages, but that awareness is very low among the urban dwellers. And this is one of the issues that we think that when we have a radio program, a community radio program, and these are some of the issues that we can be addressing and talking about as a strategy towards raising awareness.
Exactly. And I think that's also important to note, that it's not only within countries, but also increasingly these days between rural areas in other places, as well as in our own nations. The globalization of trade routes and liberalization of trade policies, it's especially in terms of commodities like food, there's so many issues.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly.
So I think it's important that the information is shared, and that we do have resources available to us, such as community radio, to support that. And there in Saya District, Gunja is starting up a network of centers, physical centers, to ensure the exchange of information. Can you tell us about the centers and how community radio will fit into that information sharing?
One thing that we've realized in development is that people are not aware. The awareness level in the community is very low that people can do something to change the situation in which they are. And therefore, people have been for quite a long in a pathetic situation, believing that they are suffering because God has made them to suffer. And this is one strong thing that we feel the community radio and the community learning centers would help us solve, because the community learning centers are centers that are easily accessible in the community, and they are led by people from that community who are engaged in one way or the other through volunteering to address issues affecting people. And through the radio education, through the radio we can do massive education as a strategy towards raising awareness of the people on some of these issues like agriculture, healthcare. And also we've realized that there is a lot of resources within the community and outside the community, but the disparity exists just because people don't know. If we make people aware, like what opportunities, for example, that the government offers, these are information that when we have through the information centers or through the radio, we can publicize. And by that, we can cause interest among people to follow up and see how best they can participate. Or even if there is injustices, they can ask why are those injustices arising. So the model actually is had to help us meet the Millennium Development Goals of overcoming the challenge of infrastructure, which has made the cost of development to be very expensive in the southern world. So the radio would be such infrastructure of making people aware. The local farmers can come and advertise what they have, for example, to get market, or the retailers can come and share with the farmers the products that they've come, and those who need can come. So it will be really a good model for facilitating development.
Right. So I mentioned at the beginning that unfortunately our time with you is short. You'll be flying back tonight. What brought you to Canada, and what Canadian organizations is Gunja working with?
Gunja Community Resource Center, for a long time, much of our strength has been through volunteerism. We operate through local volunteers, and we also attract foreign volunteers. So it is in such arrangement that we came to know about Canadian Crossroads International, a Canadian NGO based here in Toronto that do volunteer exchange. So we've been partnering with them for the last couple of years ago, sending us young volunteers to come and work with our organizations. For last year and this year, they are facilitating partnership between our organization and a local NGO in Kitchener-Waterloo known as the Working Center. So one of the activities in facilitating this partnership is facilitating the exchange of staff. At the moment, we have two staff members from the Working Center, a local NGO in Kitchener, working in my community back in Ugunja, and I was at the Working Center. And all this facilitation, all this arrangement is done by Canadian Crossroads International. Canadian Crossroads International believes in linking South and North organizations as a strategy of raising awareness both in the South and in the North about development issues, engaging the community in both ends. And I really appreciate their work, because they've made me to come here and I've made contacts, and I've also come to see the other side of the coin. Many a times there are a lot of perceptions, so such kind of an exchange helps clarifying those perceptions.
Great. That's a really excellent, that's an excellent program, and I hope that Gunja has continued success with that. If Canadians, local people here would like to find out more information, how they can contribute to the work that Gunja is doing, where can they find that information?
The Canadians that are interested in working with Ugunja can contact us in various ways through Canadian Crossroads International offices in Toronto, Adelaide Street 1317. That is a way of contacting us. Or for those people who are close to Kitchener, Waterloo area, can call at the working center, a local NGO in Kitchener, to find out more information. And also we have a website, so if they Google Ugunja, they will find information about us. So that is the different ways by which we can be reached.
Fantastic. And I noticed on your website also that if people would like to contribute financially to these projects, that they can do so directly online.
Probably that is working for those who have like Visa card, and this is being processed by one of a volunteer from USA who worked with us for a period of 10 months and then he came over and set up that system. So it has to be some people with a Visa card or something like that for they to contribute online. Yeah.
Fantastic.
Yeah.
Sounds like Ugunja is really a model example of an alternative view of globalization and how we can all interact within various countries to help and advance development.
Yeah, exactly. We tend to believe a lot that there are problems, yes, in the world, but these problems can be solved if we relate, if we establish relationship where people relate as real people. People see themselves as equal to other people, and we are addressing the problems of one globe. And this is what we are trying in a smaller way to get to. And this is what we are calling also for partners to join us in making people have power in the grassroots communities so that they can manage and manipulate their destinies and environment. So this is something that we are really interested in offering solutions for practical development.
Wonderful. For more information, you can get in touch with Ugunja through their website, ugunja.org. Again, ugunja.org. And Charles, thank you very much for joining us on CKLN today.
Thank you so much, Dan, for giving me this opportunity, and I thank CKLN for the good work they are doing. And I'm very hopeful that we'll continue working together to bring the world to the table for all people. Thank you.
Exactly. Thank you. Charles Ogata is a founding member of the Ugunja Community Resource Center of Kenya.